Okay, so first, today's daf is sponsored by several people. First, it's sponsored by Barry Rubin on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father, Yosef ben Yitzchak, Zichron Levracha. It's also sponsored by Aaron Moshe on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his grandmother, Sarah Bat Harav Meir. And it's also sponsored by Gabriel Aronoff on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his brother, Shmuel ben Avram, Zichron Levracha. So learning is Lilu Nesham of all those people. Okay, so we're on Sadi Tet today. Let's go to Sadi Tet. 1 second. So I'll begin in the Mishnah on Sadi Chedamid Beis. Okay, 8 lines from the bottom. So the Manitin, Omeid Adam Bereshit HaYachid Umetaltel Bereshit HaRabim, means a person could stand in the Bereshit HaYachid and move an object in the Bereshit HaRabim. He says, Bereshit HaRabim Umetaltel Bereshit HaYachid. Or in the alternative, a person could be standing in the Bereshit HaRabim and move something in the Bereshit HaYachid. Uvelvaj Lo Yotzi Chutz Me'arba Amot, provided in the first instance when he's moving something in the Bereshit HaRabim, he shouldn't move it more than Dalet Amot. Obviously, you can't move anything more than Dalet Amot in the Rishad Rabim, but otherwise he could do it. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that we're not afraid that a person will come to bring it to the Rishus that he's in. So he's in the Rishad Yachid. He can move an object in the Rishus Rabim. I'm not afraid that he'll pull it in to the Rishus Yachid. Now, there's another Mishnah coming up on Kuf Aleph, which is Wednesday's Daf. And on Wednesday's Daf, Reb Meir Taka says we do make such a gezeira. If you look on the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom, so the Mishnah says Lo Yamod Adam Bereshit HaYachid V'Yiftach Bereshit HaRabim. A person shouldn't stand in the Bereshit HaYachid, pick up a key in the Bereshit HaRabim, and then open up some door in the Bereshit HaRabim. Bereshit HaRabim V'Yiftach Bereshit HaYachid. He stands in the Bereshit HaRabim and take up a key and open up in the Bereshit HaYachid. Elam Kane asa mechitza kvo asaretz fachim deremeir. Unless he builds for himself like a mechitza, in which it becomes a Rishud Yachid where he's standing. So we see that Remeir himself is goes there. The reason Remeir is goes there, he's afraid that a person will, if he's patching around an object, he'll come to bring it into his Rishus. So the Tan of our Mishnah, back on Sadi Tan of Beis, is not concerned with that. And then back in the Mishnah, Lo Yamod Adam Bereshit HaYachid V'Yashtim Bereshit HaRabim. A person shouldn't stand in the Bereshit HaYachid and, you know, pass water in the Rishus HaRabim. Bereshit HaRabim V'Yashtim Bereshit HaYachid, or in the Rishus HaRabim and pass water in the Rishus HaYachid. The point is that he's projecting fluid from one Rishus to another Rishus. That's also a type of Hotza'ah. B'chein Lo Yarok. Similarly, he shouldn't spit. The spittle is also viewed as an object that's being transferred. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mishadit Lash Roku B'fiv, Lo Yalech Arba Amod Ad Shirok. That if a person gathers the spit in his mouth, he shouldn't walk, because that's like an object that he's going to spit out, so he shouldn't walk with the spit that's in his mouth. Okay? Okay, that's the Mishnah. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did in the Mishnah? You can unmute yourself if you had a question.
How about the 10th Tefachim? How about if he picks it up over 10th Tefachim?
Wait. Say again.
Like if he's in Rishus HaYachid in a house and he picks up the thing, he doesn't go 4 amos, but he picks it up like 10 tefachim over 10 tefachim high or whatever.
Well, 10 tefachim, picking up 10 tefachim wouldn't be, that would be taking it out. The 10 tefachim is already like a makom patur. It's not Rishus HaRabim.
Right.
But the Gemara is going to take up a different issue with the 10 tefachim. So picking it up 10 tefachim is not a problem if you pick it up. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara now. Okay. Everybody mute again. Okay. So the Gemara says, Matni le Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia lechia barav kamei derav. So Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia was teaching chia barav before Rav. I don't know. It seems like there are a number of instances in Shas where Rav's son is always being taught by another one of the Chachamim, and Rav usually corrects the Chacham what they're teaching the son. So he's teaching him before Rav, and he taught him our Mishnah, but with one big difference. Instead of Yamod, Lo Yamod Adam Bereshit HaYachid, Umitaltil Bereshit HaRabim. So he taught him the Mishnah that a person should not stand in the Bereshit HaYachid and move an object to the Bereshit HaRabim. We learned that you are allowed to do that as long as you don't move it Dalet Amot. But he taught him not to do that. So Amar Lei, Shafkat Rabbanan Vavad K'Rav Meir. So Rav said to him, what, did you leave the Chachamim? Are you following the Shita Rav Meir? The Rav Meir is in the Mishnah I showed you on Kuf Aleph. What's going on with this? So the top line on Sadi Tetam and Aleph, he says, Hu Savar mi de Sefer of Meir, Reishanami Rev Meir. He thought that since I see explicitly the Mishnah Kuf Aleph says Divrei Rav Meir, then he thought this Mishnah also is the Rav Chinen of Shlomi thought it's also should be consistent with Rav Meir. But the Gemara says Velohi, Sefer Rav Meir, Veresh Rabbanan. It's not the case. On the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph is like Rav Meir, and this Mishnah is not like Rav Meir. So that's that piece. Okay, any questions on this? What's up? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, now on the second line on Sadi Tedamad Aleph, everybody good? So uvavaj, so yotzi chutz. We said that a person is allowed, if he's in the Rishut HaYachid, he's allowed to move an object in the Rishut HaRabim, provided he doesn't move it more than Dalet Amot. He can't move it more than Dalet Amot. Uvavaj shlo yotzi chutz. So ha'otzi chayav chatad. So the Gemara takes that the implication of the Mishnah is, if he did move it more than Dalet Amot, he's chayav chatad. And now the Gemara is going to get into your topic, Aaron Moshe, I think. The Gemara says, Lema Messiah Leila Rava. Should we say that if that's what our Mishnah is saying, our Mishnah supports Rava? Da Amar Rava, Hamavir Chefetz Mitchilat Arba, the Sof Arba, Vehaviro Derech Alav Chayav. Rava says that if a person moved a Chefetz Dalet Amot, but the Dalet Amot he took over himself. In other words, the Rishut HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim. We could say like 40 inches. So if he picks up an object, let's say on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim, he brings it over him, so he's taking it sort of like out of the Rishus HaRabim, and he does Hanukkah back in the Rishus HaRabim, more than Dalet Amot away from where the Akira was done, Rava says you're still Chayev. So the implication here would be this is what occurred, because if Rashi, I didn't do the Rashi with you, but Rashi on the Mishnah said, if you look at the Rashi on the previous Amud, in the fifth wide line, Omeda Dam Rishut HaYachid, but Baido Al Agag, he's sitting in the house, or he's even on the roof of the house, and he bends over and moves an object. So I don't know, I guess a low roof, whatever. But the thing is, the point is that he's going to lift it more than 10 tefachim from the ground. So the Gemara thinks we have support for Rava from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Miketani im hotzi chayav chatad. Did the Mishnah say if he's motzi or chayav chatad? That was your own deduction. Dilma im hotzi patur aval asur. Maybe if you're motzi, you're only a chayav on a drabana level. In other words, maybe you just violated drabana, not a deraisa. So it's not muchrach that there's a raya for Rava from our Mishnah. We're trying to lock up a proof for Rava. We can't lock it up because the Mishnah is a little bit unclear. In other words, clearly you shouldn't move it more than Dalet Amot, but the Mishnah doesn't tell us what happens if you did move it more than Dalet Amot. Are you chayav a chatat or are you just violating on a drabana level? Ika da Amri, others say the conversation went like this. Ha-hotzi patur balasur, that we start from the other end, that if he was motzi, we assume that he violated it on the Rabbanan level. So lema teve tiyuf to the Rava. So then that would be a kasha against Rava from our Mishnah. Da ama Rava, ma'avir mitchilat arba, l'sof arba, ve'viro derech alav, chayav. Rava says if a person transports something to Rishus HaRabim, derech alav, on top of himself, he's chayav achatat. And again, the idea is that the Rishut HaRabim only goes up to 10 tefachim. So if he does a derech alav, he's taking it out of the 10 tefachim. So he says, Miketani hotzi patur aval asur. So the Gemara says, how can you say there's a kasha from the Mishnah? He says, Dilma imotzi chayav chatad. Maybe it's in conformity with Rava's opinion. So the point is that we can't say there's a support from Rava, and we can't say there's a proof against Rava from our Mishnah. It could be either way in the Mishnah. It's not muchrach which way the Mishnah is going. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far?
Can you repeat what Rava holds, please?
Okay. Again, Yosef, so for Hotza'a in the Rishut HaRabim, if I transport something more than Dalet Amot, I'm Chayev Chatad, if I Beshogeg, all right? Now, in order to be Chayev, I do an Akira and a Hanacha. I lift it up and I put it down. Right. So, but the question is, but let's say between the Akira and the Hanacha, I take it out of the Rishus HaRabim. If I go above 10 Tfachim, it's out of the Rishus HaRabim. You know, can you focus the screen on you? I want to see you when I'm talking to you. Yeah, so I'm taking it out of the Rishus HaRabim. So Rava says, if I pick up an object in the Rishus HaRabim, I take it over myself. So now it's out of the Rishus HaRabim. It's above 10 Tfachim. It's in Makom Ptur. And now I put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Rava says, I'm Chayev. So the Gemara wants to say either we have a proof or a question from our Mishnah to Rava.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is it Yosef Medalat Tfachim or what exactly?
We're talking about Dalet Amot.
Yosef Dalet Amot or exactly Dalet Amot.
So we're talking about, well, I think you're chayiv if you take it, mavir, when we say mavir dalet amot, if you take a dalet amot, I think you're chayiv. But certainly if you take it more than dalet amot,
more avada, yeah.
Right? All right? All right. All right. So I have to check if you take it exactly dalet amot, but I think the Mishnah says in Shabbos, it says, you know, mavir hamotzi me reshut the reshut. But they say it's here it says, what do we say, mavir, how do we say it here? A mavir chayfetz lesof arba, right? So it sounds like dalet amot would be chayiv. Okay? All right, I'm going to move on now in the Gemara. All right? So we're at the two dots around 10 lines down on Sadi Tetam and Aleph. Lo yamor adam b'rshut yachid b'chulei. We said that a person shouldn't stand in the Rishut Yachid and, you know, relieve himself in the Rishut Rabim and vice versa. And similarly, a person shouldn't spit that way. All right. Now, okay. Amar of Yosef, Hishtin Varach Chayav Chatat. He says, if a person did, you know, urinate or spit, he's Chayav Chatat. It means he violates Shabbos on a Daraisa level. So the Gemara says, "Vabina akira vanacha mi al gabi makom arba v'leka." But a person, in order to do akira hanacha, it has to be from. We had this earlier in Masechet Shabbat. Has to be from a makom chashuv, like a talit fachim by talit fachim. And I don't have that with the spit in the mouth is not talit fachim by talit fachim. His bladder is not talit fachim by talit fachim. So. So how is he chayav for hotzah? That's the question. Okay, Michael enjoys this. Okay, so the Gemara says, machshto meshav yilei makom. His thought, meaning his determination that he bedafko wants to take it from this place, makes it the equivalent, legal equivalent of four tfachim. And I'll explain, just give me a few lines, okay? So the Gemara says, de'ilo te'mahachi, hadama rava, zarak menach b'fi akelev. Let's say a person threw an object and he wants it to land in the dog's mouth. He wants to feed the dog. So he doesn't want the object to land A, B, or C. He wants a bedafka to land on the dog, so the dog will eat it. Oh, b'fiyah kivshan. Or he wants the object to end up in the mouth, the opening of a furnace. He wants it to burn up. So I don't want it to land, you know, 10 feet to the right, 10 feet to the left. I want a bedafka to land on that spot. So he says he's chayav chatat. Then he's chayav chatat. Why? He says, "Baha, but inan hanacha gabi makom arba v'leka." We need hanacha on a place that's at least four tefachim by four tefachim. Ela machshto meshav yilei makom. We say in that instance, because bedafka he wants the object to land on that exact spot, and he has a reason for landing on that spot, so he's chayav. In other words, that machshava that I want a dafka to be from that spot, that makes it like the legal equivalent of four tefachim by four tefachim. Hachanami machshav meshav yilei makom. Here too, when it comes to urinating or expectorating, he wants the object to leave. He wants to evacuate his bladder. He wants to evacuate his mouth. So, but that machshava makes it like four tefachim by four tefachim. Let's look at the Tosfos 1, 2, 3. The third Tosfos from the top. Machshto meshav yilei makom. Dafka b'chiyai gavna denene ba'oto makom tfei makom acher. Only under these circumstances where he benefits, he's got a specific benefit by the object landing in this spot, or in the other case, by leaving this spot. You know, b'fi kelev sheochlena, in the mouth of the dog, he's going to eat it. U'fi kivshan shetisareif sham, or the mouth of the furnace, it'll be incinerated there. B'chein hishtin v'rak, and similarly, if he urinates or he spits, he bedafka wants, in other words, I want to relieve my bladder. I want to relieve, you know, my mouth. That's what I want. Aval zarak al maklot. But if he throws an object on sticks, while shum davar, afil b'mitkavein, even if he has kavanah that it should land there, he says, lo amru machshto meshav yilei makom. We don't say there's machshava, you know, renders it a makom that's four tefachim by four tefachim. In other words, I have to have a specific reason why I want it to land there. So, all right, let me just do two more lines and I'll pause, okay? So back in the Gemara, by Rava, hu b'rshut yachid ufi ama b'rshut rabim. Let's say the person is in the b'rshut yachid, but the end of his orifice is in the b'rshut rabim. He says, mahu, batar akira azlinan. Do we say batar akira, the urine is being dislodged from the body, and that's where the akira is taking place? Or batar yitzi azlinan? Or do we look at the point where it exits the body, which is already in the Rishus Arabim? Teku. So the Gemara is not able to resolve that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
What's the nafka mean in the last case? If it's in the, words, if you go by the body, is chayav?
Yeah, let's say I've ate him. And yeah, they say, you know, you know, if you're going to urinate now, you're chayav misa.
Because it's going from yachid to rabin.
What? Say again?
Because it's going from yachid to rabin.
Or the other way around, which is that he says, what was it? He said, huber should a yachid, right. He's going from yachid, should a yachid to should a rabin. 100% correct. All right.
How can he throw something into the furnace on Shabbos?
He's already violating Shabbos. He doesn't care about Shabbos, right? In other words, he's already violating Shabbos by throwing the object, so he's adding on another Aveira to it. All right.
So are you saying he's going to be Chayev two Chatas?
So, Bifia Kivshan, so the only thing is, the Malacha would be Mavir. So I would assume if he's throwing something which is flammable, that he would also be Chayev for Mavir. But the Gemara is focused on the Hotzah issue right now. All right. That's what I assume.
It's an odd. He didn't have to use a furnace. He could have used the ashpa.
All right.
Well, they picked the furnace.
They picked in other words, the point is he wants it to be incinerated. So it has to land in a certain spot. That's why I think furnace came in. Like ashpa, you have like a big area with an ashpa. Now with the kivshan though, I'm just thinking, Michael, with the mavir, like.
Right, Mavir is not one of the Lamites Malachos, right?
It is one of the Lamites Malachos.
Havara?
Yeah, there's one of the Lamites Malachos.
I thought that's like, it's an isolated Malacha because it's a special...
No, so there's a machloket, whether, you're right, whether Lachalik Yatzot or Lav Yatzot, but it's one of the Lamites Malachos. The only thing is, though, that, and again, I have to think of something like, if you throw something, it usually follows a trajectory. So I don't know if that changes your chiyuv for havara, like in other words, it goes up and then it goes down. I'm not 100% sure, but if there is but the person mustama doesn't care so much about Hilchot Shabbos, or it's shogeg. He forgot it was Shabbos and he did those things. What can I tell you? And he says chayv chatat, so it's talking about shogeg. He doesn't remember today's Shabbos. That's the case.
Okay,
I'm going to move on unless there's any more questions. Everybody good? Okay, we're at the two dots. Everybody mute themselves again. So. Okay, so v'chein lo yarok, we said that a person shouldn't spit from one reshut to another reshut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer v'chudi. Now, the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have the spit in my mouth and I walk, in other words, if the spit has been gathered in my mouth, so then I walk, then I'm chayv also for hotzah. That's what the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says. So the Gemara says, even though he didn't swish it around, like, you know, he didn't swish the whole thing around. But Hatanan, we learn in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechet Kelim. He was eating Devela, which is like a fig cake, his hands are Tame, meaning hands on a Drabbanan level are always Tame, unless they're washed. They're Shniyot Latuma. We've had this before. Okay, so his hands are Shani Latuma. He says, he sticks his hand in the mouth with the fig cake to take a pebble out of the, I guess mixed in the fig cake or whatever. He says, and he touches the fig cake. He touches the fig in the mouth. Now, remember, in order to be mekabel tuma, it has to have one of the seven mashkim go on it. You will remember that, seven mashkim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir mitame. Rabbi Meir says that the devela is now tame. Now it's truma tamea. He says, Rabbi Yossi Matayer. Rabbi Yossi says that it's not Tame. Give me one second. Yeah.
But Rok was not one of the seven, right?
Yad Shachat Dam.
It's water, no? Is it considered water?
Yeah, so I guess it's close to water is what's going with it. But the point is, though, that that Remeir holds that even the saliva in one's mouth is susceptible to being a machshir. And according to Rabbi Yossi, saliva in the mouth is like part of one's body, so it's not a machshir. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and again, Rabbi Yehuda is the one we're interested in. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, if I have the saliva in my mouth, I'm chay for hotzah. He says, even though Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he had like swished around the saliva in his mouth, so then the saliva is like a separate entity And then Mamela, it's a machshir, otherwise not. So that's a stira from what we had. In our Mishnah, he's walking around just with the saliva. And here, if he's swishing it around, then it's considered to be a separate object. The idea is, when is the saliva a separate object from his body? So is it just when it's gathered in his mouth, or when he's like swishes it around? So here, Rabbi Yehuda says only when he swishes it around. And our Mishnah says he just gathered in the mouth. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefet Ashita. Yochanan says Mukhlefet Ashita. Now Mukhlefet Ashita usually means the Shita to reverse. Here though, Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda changed his position. Let's look at Rashi. Mukhlefet Ashita in the Rashi. It's a few lines above where we are. Hekli for Rabbi Yehuda Shita to. He changed his position so that in the Mishnah he held that if it's in the mouth, then it's considered to be separate. And then he said, no, you have to swish it around. But Rabbeinu Chanan learns differently. Rabbeinu Chanan says, no, the shitot are reversed, and it means the shitot of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, you're tamei from the get-go, that the saliva is considered a separate entity. And Rabbi Yehuda said hipechba. So it's really Rabbi Meir says hipechba, and Rabbi Meir is the one who says we had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Meir is the one who says hipechba, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's tame. That's the way Rabbi Hanana learns. Okay, now let's go further in the Gemara. We're 10 lines from the bottom on Sadi Tetam and Aleph 99a. Okay, so Sadi, for the people who just came in, Sadi Tetam and Aleph 99a, around 10 lines from the bottom, 8 lines above the Mishnah. Reish Lakish Amar Liolam Lo Tachlif. Reish Lakish says either don't reverse it or you don't have to say he changed his position. V'hacha b'mayaskinan, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? Bekicho. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about his phlegm. The Mishnah, when it says if he just has it, so then it's a separate object, it's not talking about saliva, it's really talking about his phlegm. So v'hatanya, so that's the way we could do it. So phlegm is ready to be spit out as soon as you have it. So that's a separate object. With the saliva, only when I swish it around, then it's ready to be spit out. That's what we think. That's what he wants to ostensibly say. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kicho Venitlash. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the phlegm collected in his mouth, he can't walk Dalet Amot L'Rishus HaRabim. So my love Rok Venitlash. So is it not that he also meant the same thing by Rok? Now it's hard to understand why the Gemara would say that, because it says Kicho, and here he's got Rok. Now in the art school, they quote at footnote 9, they quote the Dikduke Sofrim that has a different girsa, and their girsa is Vatani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kicho v'roko. He says that we learn the Braisa, the Rebbe says his phlegm and his saliva, and he says, my love, kicho v'roko shenitlash. It doesn't mean that it was gathered up, and so then that would be the kiss of death for it. So he says, so the Gemara says, my love, rok v'nitlash lo, kicho v'nitlash. In other words, the way we have it, it means only the phlegm, and if you do this other girsa from Dikduke Sofrim, it means that the phlegm and the roke have different dinim. So the phlegm is just as long as it's gathered, but the roke, you have to swish it around. So the Gemara says, Vahatani, but I learned in a different price, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kicho Shenitlash, V'chein Roko Shenitlash, Lo Yehalech Arba Amod Ad Shirok, that whether it's his phlegm or it's the roke, as long as it's gathered up, he shouldn't walk more than Dalet Amod. So here, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, by the saliva, I don't have to swish it around. As long as it's gathered up, then I'm chayev for hotza'ah. So, ela mechvarta k'dashanina meikar. The Gemara says, rather, it's clear the way we first explained it, muchlefet ashita. Either, according to Rashi, he changed his position, or that we have to switch Rabbi Meir, the way Rabbeinu Chanan learns, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, and Gabriel, I mentioned that we're learning tonight Lilui Nasham of your brother. I mentioned this. Okay? All right. So let's learn further in the Gemara. Now, Amar Reish Lakish, Kiach Bifnei Rabo Chayav Mita. If a Talmud, he coughed up phlegm and expelled it in the presence of his Rebbe, he's Chayav Mita Bidei Shemayim. In other words, it's such a horrible thing. So he says, Shenemar, Kumasanai Evumabit. It's like the Torah speaking. It says Hashem Kanani Reshit Darko. It's in Mishlei, Pasuk in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, that all those who hate me love death. The Torah speaking. People who hate me love death. Don't say who hate me. Elamasniai, those who cause me to be hated. I could read the word that way if I would punctuate it differently. It's meaning that when a Talmid Chacham, he behaves in a very gross way, so it causes people to be turned off from Torah. So that's what it means. So here, this Talmud who's spitting up the phlegm is causing the Torah to be, you know, not liked by people who see him. So the Gemara says, "Va'amenas na'anis," but he couldn't help himself. So the Gemara says, "No, kiach v'rakamina." It means that not that he like suddenly coughs it up. He's like coughs it up into his mouth, and then he of his own volition spits it out. Then he's chayav mita. If you couldn't help it, then you know, you can't help it. But he made a volitional decision. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and anything so far? Aaron Moshe, you got something? All right, I'm going to move on. Nobody. All right, let's see. All right, we're on the Mishnah Sadi Tetam and Aleph. We're eight lines from the bottom, all right? All right, so Manitin, Lo Yamod Adam B'Rishit HaYachid, V'Yishteh B'Rishit HaRabim. A person shouldn't stand in the Rishit HaYachid and drink, let's say I'll drink a cup in the Rishit HaRabim, B'Rishit HaRabim, V'Yishteh B'Rishit HaYachid. Or conversely, do it the other way around. Here, remember, even though in the previous Mishnah we said we're not afraid of the person, remember if I was moving something, I'm the Rishit HaYachid, moving something to the Rishit HaRabim. So I'm not concerned that the person will bring the Chefza into the Rishit HaYachid. Here I am concerned that I will do it. In other words, if I'm the Rishit HaYachid and I shouldn't have a cup and I'm drinking the Rishit HaRabim because I may bring the cup into the Rishit HaYachid and vice versa as well. He says, Elam Kenechnis Rosho Verubo Lamakom Shushote Vachin Begat. Unless he puts his head and most of his body in the place that he's drinking. Let me get a picture for us on this. Okay, just give me 1 second. I get confused how to do this now. 1 second. 1 minute. Here we go. 1 second. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, so first, I should have done this before. Here, this is the earlier picture. You see the fellow, he's in the Rishit HaYachid, and he's moving the key in the Rishit HaRabim. Okay, now here we're up to the person. Well, here's the God. All right, but the idea is that he's got most of his head and most of his body. The God is the wine press. So the din with the wine press, the Gemara is going to explain, is a din that relates to Maaser. But he should only drink it this way if he's putting his head, most of his body, over the God. All right. All right. So I'm going to go on in the Gemara.
So this picture is allowed. This picture is good.
This picture is good, but we'll see why it's good and what's going on with it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rameir. So it seems like a stira. In the previous Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to move things in the Rishut from one Rishus to another Rishus, as long as, in other words, if I'm standing in the Rishut HaYachid, I can move an object to the Rishus HaRabim. And here it says, I shouldn't. I may come to bring the cup into the Rishus HaYachid. So it seems like the Reisha was like the Chachamim, and now the Seifa, we think, is going like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, no, here we're talking about a chefza the person needs. He's got an urgent need for it. In other words, he's thirsty. He needs water. Under those circumstances, even the chachamim, who are not concerned about you bringing it into the rishus, but if you're thirsty, then, and even though you know it's Shabbos and everything else, we're afraid you'll forget and you go, I'm thirsty, I'm drinking. And then you'll come to do the malacha on Shabbat. Okay? Now, ibayilahu Carmelite Moy. So the question was asked in the base medrash, what if the person is not standing in the, could he stand in a Carmelite and drink in the Rishut HaYachid, the Rishut HaRabim? In other words, we said he can't be in the Rishut HaRabim and drink in the Rishut HaYachid. But what if he's standing in a Carmelite, which is a Rishut HaRabbanan, could he then drink? And so even if he would to bring the cup in, he would only violate Shabbos on a rabbinic level. Is he allowed to then, you know, drink in from one rishus to another rishus? So Amar Abayi Hihi. Abayi says the same halacha, the Zelbazach, like we'd say in Yiddish, it doesn't make a difference. He says, Amar Rava, Higuv Gzera, Ba'ananekum, Venigzer, Gzera, Ligzera. Rava says, but the underlying Aveira is only a Drabanan level. In other words, even if Lu Yetzur, he would bring the cup into his Rishus, he would only violate Shabbos on the Drabanan level. And now you want to make Xera, he shouldn't drink, you know, in other words, he's standing in the Carmelite, he shouldn't drink in the Rishus Arabim, because he might bring from the Rishus Arabim to the Carmelite. That's Xera L'Xera. You don't make Xera L'Xera. So that's Rabbi's Kasha. So how will Abai respond to this? So in the Art Scroll, they gave several answers. In footnote 17, he says the dinim of Hotza'ah are an exception. Since people, they're not machshiv, the dinim of Hotza'ah, so they're coming more machmir with it. We've had many times before, you know, like Chachamim Hechmiru Dibreim, you know, Tir Mishal Dibrei Torah. Sometimes the rabbinic laws, they're more machmir than the Torah laws. Here, within the rabbinic, they're saying like the people, like with when it comes to Hotza'ah, not rabbinic, when it comes to Hotza'ah in general, people are very lax. So we have to be much more machmir when it comes to Hotza'ah. And there we will say we'll have Gzeira L'Gzeira. Or he doesn't consider it to be Gzeira L'Gzeira. It was just like one rule. And it made one rule. It was, we can't have half and half. And I can't tell people, well, you can't stand here if it's a Rishus Sarabim, but if it's a Carmelite, you could. I have that one rule. So that's another answer. Then he says a third answer. It's very easy to make a mistake and to bring the water into another rishus, and therefore they had to be extra stringent with that. Okay, now let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. Okay, let me get to the next Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayi min Aminala. So Abayi says, how do I know what I'm saying is correct? Meaning that even if you're standing in the Carmelite, you have a problem with this. Or if you're sitting in Rishut HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim and the objects in the Carmelite, I still have a problem. So he says, Amar Bari Min HaAminala, Mita Katani, V'chein B'gad. It said similarly by the God. So Rashi says, what is this God? If it's a Rishut HaYachid and I shouldn't stand in Rishut HaRabim and drink, and so that would be the same as what we said before. So he says, must be the God is a Carmelite, meaning it's not 10 Tefachim high. So we think he's in the Rishut HaRabim, and the Gat, the wine press, which was in our picture, that we think is the Carmelite. Let me get over here. Okay, so this is the Carmelite, and here's the Rishut HaRabim. Everybody see it? So Abai says, I have a proof. That's what the Mishnah says. If I'm in the Rishut HaRabim, I shouldn't drink in the Carmelite. It's a Raya Brewer, because if it's saying that the God is Rishut HaYachid, it's just repeating what it said before. So the Gemara says, the top line, V'rava Amar Linyan Maiser, Rabbi says the din with the God has got nothing to do with anything. That's a whole, it's like, you know, mixing kasha with mun, not quite, but it's a totally different din. It relates to Maiser. It's just that by this din of Maiser, you also have to have your head and most of your body over there, but it doesn't relate to Hilchot Shabbat in any way. He says, Didan, we learn in the Mishnah in Masechet Masrot, Shotin, now again, a person's not allowed to eat tevel but the prohibitions are only when it's like fully processed. So if it's not fully processed, I could have it. I'm getting it under the radar. It's not chayav with trumas and mastros yet. But nevertheless, the Chachamim said even if it's not fully processed, I shouldn't eat it without the trumas and mastros being separated. But unless I'm eating it in very casual, like achila roi. If I'm eating achila roi, so then I could have it, even though it's not fully processed yet. So Didnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Shotin alagat, bein b'chamin uvein b'tzonein, upatur divrei Meir. According to Meir, I could drink on the God. And again, this is, we're saying our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, that I could drink like this fellow. If I drink over the wine press, even if I, whether I mix the wine with hot water or cold water, I'm patur. Because that's achilas arai. That's an achilas arai, and that's what I'm allowed. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. He says, Reb Lezer Bar Tzadok Machayev. Reb Lezer Bar Tzadok says, if I'm already adding water to it, whether it's hot or cold water, that's not called arai anymore. That we're going to call keva. He says, V'chachamim omrim elachamim chayev. If I'm adding hot water, I'm chayev. That's keva. Al atzonin patur. If I'm adding cold water, I'm patur. Bnei shemachzir namotar. Because I could, you know, pour the rest into the God. So the point is that Rabbi says that our Mishnah is talking about this din, about Maasrot, and teaching that if the fellow, like in the picture, if his head and most of his body is standing over the God, then he could drink it, because that's called Shtiyar Arai, and even though Trumas Maasrot has not been separated from it. Okay, Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Very good. Okay, I'm going to go on. All right.
What was the two gezeiros and the gezeira and the gezeiro?
Yeah, one is to take an object from Rashida Rabim to a Carmelite or from Rashida Yachid to a Carmelite. That's rabbinically prohibited.
Okay.
And the second would be that even though I'm not doing it, I'm just leaning over, I'm drinking, I'm standing in the Carmelite, I'm drinking the Rashida Yachid, that I can't do that because I might come to bring
even
it
might
over.
Come. So even if you do, it's a good idea.
Right. Okay. All right. Coming attractions. All right, let's take a look. All right, so the next Mishnah, we're on the sixth line on Sadi Tenamid Beis. So, Manitin, Kolet Adam et Amaschila Lamata Me'asaret Fachim. The Maschila is like this gutter. I don't know how well you could see it here. You see it here? In other words, there's a gutter that abuts the roof. The roofs were flat, but they had some sort of channels on it. And then the water would come down into this type of gutter. So, Kolet is, if the water is coming down and then the water is already flowing, I can catch the water. It was like a waterfall. I can catch the water, and it provided I'm below 10 tefachim. Okay? So the Gemara is going to explain, though we don't know this yet, that means the gutter is a din in Rishus HaYachid. This is Rishus HaYachid, and the gutter is within 3 tefachim in the roof. So this is all Rishus HaYachid. But once the water falls and if it gets within 10 tefachim in the ground, that's already in Rishus HaRabim. So if I'm gathering it, it's fine. That's what the Mishnah learns. So Kolet Adam in a Maschil Lamata Me'asar Tefachim Uminatzinor Mikomakom Shota. And yeah, this is what I can't do here. But Minatzinor is over here. It's like this pipe that comes out, and it's more than 3 Tefachim from the wall. So the pipe has got a din of a Makom Ptur. So I can from there I can put the pot or my mouth next to the pipe and drink. Okay, let's take a look in the Gemara and then I'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Kolate in kolate is I'm catching in the midair." Right, this is kolate. Everybody see this is kolate, and this is mitzaref where it's flush against the gutter. Okay, so kolate in about mitzaref low. So from the Mishnah, sounds like I can only do like this picture. I can only do like picture 23. I can't do like picture 24. So he says, "My timer." Amrav Nachman, Hakam Aschila Pachot Mishlosha Samach Lagaga Skinan. We're talking about a gutter which is in the 3 tefachim of the roof, which is it is. He says, "Dechol Pachot Mishlosha Samach Lagag Kegag Dami." Anything that's within 3 tefachim is considered like the gag. The gag is the Rishud Yachid, and so Amela. So I can't if I go just like this. So then I'm going to be chayav. I'm taking from the Rishud Yachid to the Rishud Rabim. That's the idea. If I'm standing in the Rishud Rabim, now I'm taking it into the Rishud Rabim. If it's falling like this, so it's already in the Rishud HaRabim, I can gather it. Okay, just wait one minute. So Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a Bryce that supports this. Now what we're trying to prove is that when it's in 3 tefachim of the roof, it's like this that same Rishus. Now let me see if I have a picture for this. All right, give me 1 second. Yeah, I'm not signing the picture that I want to show you. Oh, here it is. Okay, this picture will do. Okay.
Is this the Masifta?
This is the Masifta Gemara, yeah. Okay, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, Omeid Adam B'Rishud HaYachid. Now here, B'Rishud HaYachid, here's one roof. Everybody see it? Here's one roof. Here's another roof. So he's standing on one roof. He wants to get the water off the gutter from the other roof. Okay. Omeid Adam B'Rishud HaYachid, Mabi Ado L'mala Me'asar Tefachim. He can lift his hands above 10 tefachim. He says, "Lefachot mishlosha samuch legag v'kolate." The idea is, as long as I catch the water when it's in the flowing, so then, in other words, this is Rishus HaYachid A. This is Rishus HaRabim B. I'm not allowed to take from one Rishus HaYachid. Here's where the Schwartz family here the Mandelbaums live. I can't transfer, and there's no Erev Chatzero between the two houses, so I can't transfer from one house to another house or one roof to the other roof. That's the way this is taking it. But if the water is already flowing down, then it's in my rishus. If I'm flush with the gutter, then I'm taking it from that rishut. So he says, So I can be kolate, I can grab it when it's on the flowing out, but not be mitzaref where I'm putting my mouth or the keli right up to the gutter. Tani idach, I learned another brisa. Lo yamor adam b'shul yachid. A person shouldn't sit in shul yachid. Abiyeh do lamalam yisaretz fakim. Lepachot mishlosha samuch legag b'tzaref. It's the same idea. I shouldn't like put the pot right flush against the gutter. Well, kolate hu b'shota. I can be kolate and drink it. All right. You had a question for him. Let me get to you. What's up? Yeah.
You said the drain pipe was a makom patur.
We're going to come to it now. We didn't come to the drain pipe yet. I did mention it, but we're going to do it now.
Because okay? I didn't know why.
Okay, we're going to come. We'll explain as best we can. All right, now let's take a look. Let me go back to the other picture book. Okay, all right, one second. Okay, so it's going to say it's a makom patur because it's three tefachim away from this Rishut HaYachid. And it itself is less than three tefachim, or less than four tefachim. In other words, it's a separate. It's like something which is coming out from the building, but it's less than four tefachim by four tefachim.
So it's just the protrusion part, not the part that's
right. That's correct. That's correct. Okay, let's take a look. So the Gemara says Tana im yesh betzinor abal raba asur. If the tzinor is four tefachim by four tefachim, then I can take it in. Then the tzinor gets a dinner, but carmelite at that point in time. And here you see it's like four by four. If it's four tefachim, aleph must be, yeah, aleph. If yeshbo tzinor ar baba, if it's four tefachim by four tefachim, then it gets a dinner, but carmelite, and then I'd be taking from the carmelite to the reshut rabim. All right, let me just stop and take some questions. Who's questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did with the water, with the gutters, with everything, the whole zach, anything? All right. I want you to know this that Gemara took a long time to understand. I'm through quickly, but it was very confusing going through it. Okay. All right. Let's take a look. We're going to go into the next piece now. All right. All right. This is coming attractions. All right. Now, everybody with me? Okay. Manitin, boar b'rishut harabim. If I have a boar, and here's our boar, a pit in the b'rishut harabim, he says, v'chulyato gavo asar tfachim. And its embankment, the chuli is the embankment, is 10 tefachim. Here you see 10 tefachim. He says, chalon sha'al gabav, and then conveniently is a window right next door to it. He says, memalin himenu b'shabbat. So the person is allowed to take water from the boar. The boar is also Rishut HaYachid, and the person, he's in Rishut HaYachid. He could take from this Rishut HaYachid to the other Rishut HaYachid. Now I was bothered, how can you take from one Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid? So I was talking to somebody today. He said that it's like it's privately owned boar, but it comes out from the end of the Gemara that it's like the rabbin. But I assume he's got a chalek in the boar. It's like
no, partial. That's the kula of water. Remember, water had a kula.
Yeah, but the water that related to hotzah didn't relate to like ownership. Remember, we had a boar between two chatzerot. Remember, there was limited when you could bring in that. In other words, like there's a kula with a mayim when you're over like the water, and it's like. It's a carmelite.
It's flowing.
Right,
but you need water.
Yeah, I think the kula is...
Right, to retrieve the water from below the building in the yam.
Yeah, that was the kula, but I remember we had a bore between two chatzerot, and then we had to put the partition...
Right, but it wasn't divided. It wasn't a complete division. It couldn't be complete. It wasn't hermetically sealed, but you could take, even though they didn't
make... But we did make a division from it. We did make a division.
But it was meaningless because it's water. But you could take.
Yeah, it wasn't meaningless. But anyway,
no,
but
it didn't divide the water.
No. But that remember, according to a lot of opinions, that's what Badafka did do. It divided the water. But we had the partition in the water. How far above the water? Anyway, but so I think that here. Anyway, here he could take the water. I think if he could take the water because he's got a chelik in the boar. That's what I think. Okay, let's take a look. He says, Ashba b'rishut harabim. He's got an ashpa, like some dump near the window. He can throw the water or any other object because the ashpa is also Rishut HaYachid. It's 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Okay? All right. Now, the Gemara says, B'maya askinan, what is the case that we're dealing with the boar? He says, Ilem b'smucha, if we're talking that the boar is like close to the wall here, so he says, Lamali Huli Asara. What we assume that the boar itself is 10 tefachim.
Can you bring the picture up? Okay.
Yeah, the picture's right here.
Okay.
Please let's everybody mute 1 second. Let me go back. Okay. So I'll come to everybody. Okay. Just give me a few minutes. Okay. So we assume that the bore itself is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in dimensions. So why does he need, if it's smucha, in other words, if it's very close to the wall, why does he need this chuli? Why can't he just take directly? So Amar Rav Huna, hakam yaskinan b'muflegim in a kotel arba'a. He says that it's 4 tefachim away from the wall. Betama de ikuchulya asara. And the reason he's allowed to get the water is because of this embankment. In other words, despite the fact that there's a chulya, there's a space here for tefachim, because of this wall, we're not afraid that he would drop the bucket here and then lift it up. He's going to like throw the bucket directly into the well. He says, Haleka chulya asara, kamataltam shudiyachid or shudiyachid derech shudarabim. We're afraid he's going to, you know, put the bucket down here and then bring it back here. The Rishud Yachid deal. So we think that we need the embankment as a guarantee that the bucket will go, you know, only above 10 tefachim, which is not the Rishud Rabin. That's what we think. Reb Yochanan Amar, Afilu Tein B'Smucha, Reb Yochanan says, no, it could even be that the bore is like flush against the wall. V'hakamash malan, Debor v'chuyatom and starfin la'asara. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that not like we thought before, but the Mishnah is just teaching me that a bor and a chulya, the depth of the bor and the chulya, both are mitztarif la'asara. That's the key. So if it's less than 4 tefachim, so the space between the rishuyot would be makom patur. That's not the problem. But he's just saying that the bor and the chulya will add up to 10 tefachim. In other words, the depth and the elevation that'll add up to 10 tefachim. All right, let me just do another 8 lines and I'll pause. Okay, ashba b'rishud rabim v'chulei. We said if we have like this garbage heap outside the window, he could throw things on the garbage heap. He says, v'lo chayshin an shementina tel ashba. Like, aren't we afraid that maybe somebody will remove some of the ashpa and the ashpa will cease being Rishud Yachid and become part of the Rishud Rabim again, and he won't realize it and he'll be dumping it? He says, Baha, Ravin Baravada, Amra Rabbi Yitzchak, and you may remember this from Dafyomi people, this was actually at the beginning of the Masechta, Ma'asib Mavui Echad, there was an incident with one Mavui. Mavui is like the alleyway. Shetziru Echad Kalayam, one end had the ocean. He says, Vetziru Echad, Kala Ashba, one had the Ashba at the other end of it. He says, so the sea end had like a seawall, like the fall off, you know, from what that was the Mechitza, and the Ashba was also Mechitza. He says, Uvama Silfe Rebbe, and it came before Rebbe, you know, the incident could they carry in the Mavui, you know, presumably with Shitufe Mavoot. He says, Velo Amar Bo, Lo Easter, Velo Heter. He didn't say yes or no, or no or yes in this case. Heter lo amar bo cheshin hashem atin tel ashba v'yelam sirton. He didn't say yeah, you can carry, because there's a chashash that maybe the garbage dump will be taken away and then you don't have the mechitzah set up, or v'yelam sirton, or the ocean will, like, you know, put sediment there and everything will get filled in. He says, "Lo amar." He says, "Easter lo amar bo da kaimin mechitzot." But he didn't say there's an Easter because the mechitzot are there. So the point being that Rebbe was concerned that circumstances could change. He didn't want to give a heter to it. So how is it that the Mishnah gives a heter with this garbage heap, and he's not afraid about it? So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha hati yachid ad rabim." Rebbe was talking about that the Mavui was owned by an individual. He was the one who was going to call the shots. So an individual can make, you know, decisions here, there, and the other place, whereas our Mishnah is talking about where it's owned by the rabbim, it's owned by many people, and it's much less likely to be removed than the privately owned one, and therefore we give a heter for it. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Can you repeat the answer, please?
Yeah. So the Gemara is basically saying Rebbe had a case with a garbage dump and he was concerned that the garbage dump might get removed. Our Mishnah has a garbage dump, and we're not concerned that it gets moved or reduced in size. So the Gemara says Rebbe's garbage dump was owned by one person. He could pick up and change his mind the next day and get rid of some of the dump. He says, so he didn't want to say, yeah, you have a green light to carry in the Mabui. Our Mishnah is talking about a publicly owned dump. A publicly owned dump, much less likely to get reduced. Okay. All right. I'm going on.
But how come you can pour water into it? Because maybe you're watering something in that dump.
Yeah, so you're right. But I assume, you know, this is what I'm just sort of shooting from the hip with this, Fern. I assume like this, that there's nothing growing underneath it. It's just like, you know, whatever. It could be brickwork underneath, and you really don't have a question. But even if there's soil underneath, there's nothing growing underneath the garbage dump, and you're pouring out. But it would just be the same din if you're pouring, you know, solid garbage would be the same din as well. That's what I assume. In other words, the only question would be Zoraya. So I don't think there's like anything growing in this garbage dump underneath it or in it. You know what I mean? All right.
But you know, no, for sure.
If there's something growing, then you would have an issue. I don't know what to say. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now here's coming attractions. Our next picture is a tree, which means tree is our next topic. Okay, don't leave. We're not done. Michael, you're leaving? Goodbye. Toodles. All right, I think he's got a shoe to go to. Okay, now, we're four lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? All right. Elon Shemesech al Haaretz, there was a tree. Its branches extended over the ground. In other words, the tree creates a canopy, and if the canopy is such that the branches like close in within three tefachim of the ground, you see the olive here? So there's less than three tefachim between the ground and the branches. That's quite a tree. So in other words, it's got a big canopy, and it's like covering the whole area. So he says you can carry under the tree. In other words, the tree is creating a rishus. Now you have a tree. It's got the walls and a roof, the whole thing. He says, Sharashav gavoim in arsh shoshat tefachim lo yishev aleihem. If its branches, its roots, if its roots extend from the ground, three tefachim, then the roots get a din of a tree, and I shouldn't sit on it because I'm not allowed to sit or get any, you know, benefit from a tree on Shabbos. That was, you know, we're afraid that you're going to break off branches. So, like, I can't just sit on a tree. All right, so let's see back on the Gemara. So the bottom line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, a metaltlin bo yeter mibeit satayim. He says that you can only carry under the tree if it's not larger than a beit satayim. Beit satayim is 50 by 100 amot. He says, even though the person, we'll see, even though he intends it as a type of dira, he says, my time on the top line, Mishum the Havi Dirush Tashmishala Avir, called Dirush Tashmishala Avir, Ema Talthan Ba Yetram Besatayim. So it means like this, that normally if I have an enclosure, but it's not enclosed for Dira, I can't, larger than the base of time, I can't carry there. With the tree, even if I grew this tree and the intent was that it should be for Dira, like for the people who guard the fields, they should stay there. But it's a dira hasuila avira. In other words, it's not made for regular, you know, living quarters. It's just made to like sit there and keep an eye on the fields. So it is subject to the limitation of a beit satayim, and otherwise, that's the limitation. So even though it's like for a type of dira, it doesn't qualify to get you the exception for the beit satayim. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Well, again, I want to thank everybody. Again, learning tonight was Leilui Neshama, first of Barry Rubin's father, that's Yosef Ben Yitzchak Zichron Olavracha, and for Aaron Moshe's grandmother, Sarah Bat Harav Meir, and for Gabriel Aronoff's brother, Shmuel Ben Avram Zichron Olavracha. Thank you all for your generous contributions, and let me end the recording and then say goodbye. One second. Here's recording.